In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. At least a day late is okay to say that still. This week is the fourth part in a series called Drawing Near to God. And this morning what I want to talk about is worship. You got a little preview of that with the kids, of course. And I want to begin by asking you to think about a time in your life when you fell in love, if you have a time like that in your life. So think back about that for a little bit. What was that like? What does that feel like? And, you know, when we're in love with a person, of course, there's a sentiment that we have of affection, of desire to be with, of interest in, and it issues in kind of natural behaviors. So we expect when you're in love with someone that you'll want to spend time with the person. Usually a lot of time. I remember when Rachel and I began dating, and I found that I needed to have these really long phone conversations, you know? And what do you talk about for all that time? I don't know, but this is a part of what you do. So you want to be with, you want to talk with, you want to relate with. Also, it's natural to want to give things. When we love with someone, when we fall in love with, like, I want to give gifts. And, you know, when I think back again about that time of dating, in hindsight, I think I probably maybe spent more than I ought to have, wisely. And Sandy, after this morning, said, that sounded really insulting. So I don't mean it like that. But it was a little bit reckless. And probably we all can relate to that. Okay, there's something about love where you're just like, oh, throw caution to the wind. Let me just give. And yeah, we can't quite afford this, but let's go do it. We also, when we love someone, we like to give expression to that. So it's very natural to speak our affection. And in some interesting way, the speaking of it is part of the experiencing of it. It's like it's bottled up and we feel like I have to say it. And that first time that you say to the other person, I love you, is like this really, you know, intense time, this really meaningful time where you're able to give voice to the things that you're feeling inside. So, in other words, when we are in a romantic relationship, when we start to fall in love with someone, we find it quite natural to give of our time, to give of ourselves, to give of our words, and to give of our stuff. And I want to suggest that this gives us a pretty good picture of what worship is. Now, worship is not just a thing that happens for a couple of hours on a Sunday morning, but worship is a attitude toward God that fills all of our life. It's a stance toward God that also naturally issues in giving of our stuff, giving of our praise, giving of ourself. And I want to touch on each of those three things and kind of unpack those a little bit and ask this question, like, what does worship in this area actually look like? How do we enter into that? So we'll start with the stuff, giving of our things. Again, this is a natural thing when we have an affection or we want to show gratitude or we want to honor to give to someone else. And you might ask the question, well, okay, I can see how that happens if I'm giving to JT, but how does someone give to God? You know, what do you get for the person who has everything? How does this look? And of course, we don't give directly to God in the same way that we might to another person. But what Scripture shows us is that we give to God by giving to the things that are near to God's heart. And importantly, forgiving for His sake. So let's look at a couple of examples of this. In one point in the gospel, Jesus says, as he's speaking to a crowd, he says, any of you who gives even just like a cup of cold water to one of these followers of mine because they belong to me will surely receive a reward. So in other words, he says, it's not even, it doesn't have to be a big thing, but you're giving because you realize, hey, these are one of Jesus's people. They matter to him. He cares about them. Let me do something for them because I want to do something for Jesus. Or in another parable that we know, the sheep and the goats. And interestingly, what Jesus says there is, whatever you have done to the least of these, you have done to me. Why does he say that? Because for Jesus, he identifies so closely with the broken, with the poor, with the needy. And we can see that in his earthly life. He was drawn there. So he says, hey, that's what my heart is about. So when you say, you know, Jesus, because you care about that, I'm going to help. I'm going to do this for your sake. He's like, it's like you're giving to me because those are the things I care about. And maybe sometime you've received one of those cards that says a donation has been made, you know, in your honor to such and such an organization. And that's the idea there, you know. Because I honor you, I'm going to give to something that maybe you care about, and that's a way of giving something indirectly to you. So we give to God by giving to the things that are close to God's heart and giving because they're close to God's heart. And the scriptures also tell us some things about like how that giving should look. Like if it's worshipful giving, if it's springing from a heart of this attitude toward God of affection, what do we see? The first thing is that we see it's willing. It's reluctant giving is not worshipful giving. The kind of giving that's worshipful is the kind that says, God, I'm eager to give something to you. And again, thinking about the analogy with our relationships, that's what it looks like. You know, if I brought home Rachel some flowers and I was like, yeah, I got you flowers. They were on sale. You know, that she wouldn't receive that as a compliment. That would be probably an insult, and I'd be better not to bring them. And the same kind of thing applies to God, eager giving. There's a story in the Old Testament which is fascinating. When the people come out of Egypt and they're going to make the tabernacle, which is the temple where God's presence is going to dwell. And God says something interesting. He says to Moses, tell the people that we need to collect stuff, because it was a very fancy structure. It had expensive fabrics. It had a lot of gold and a lot of silver and other precious stones in it. And he said, tell the people that anyone who wants to give should give. So he doesn't, you might have expected to say, okay, everyone in Israel owes so much, like a kind of a head tax or something. He says, no, this is entirely voluntary. So if God has put it on your heart to give, then give. And the story goes on to talk about how people just generously poured out. You know, they took off their jewelry. They took their special items from home. They were eager to give to the thing that God was doing. And that was something that honored and that pleased God. So worshipful giving is a willingly giving. And we also see in Scripture that worshipful giving can often be extravagant giving. Think of the story about the woman who anoints Jesus' feet with a perfume. So she breaks this jar of expensive perfume and pours it on his feet and weeps and kisses his feet. She's honoring him with this. And remember that some of the disciples are kind of annoyed. They're like, Jesus, don't you recognize that that was like a year's wages? So put this in our terms. Someone walks in and has like a $50,000 something and breaks it and uses it all in that moment to honor God. They're like, what a waste. But Jesus responds, that's not a waste. You know, she's done a beautiful thing for me to honor me. It was extravagant. Or think of the woman who gives her little copper coin into the treasury. Now, this is a very small thing, but Jesus says, guess what? It was all she had to live on. So for her, it was a huge gift because she gave the very last thing. And so we see that too. Worshipful giving is the giving that that's reckless. And I think an interesting question, I was thinking about this week, is like, when have I given recklessly to God? Because I can think of times when I've given recklessly to Rachel when we dated, or I can think of times when I've given to myself maybe things I couldn't really afford. And so I wonder, when have I given to God what I really couldn't afford to give? And yet that's the spirit of worshipful giving, is that God, beyond what I really reasonably can do, I want to give because I want to honor you in it. And then finally, worshipful giving is done in secret. Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you know, when you give, don't let your right hand know what your left is doing, which is an interesting picture about how secret it's going to be. It's hard to keep the hands from seeing what they're doing. But what's the purpose of that? I mean, for one thing, we know our motivations, our hearts, are often very mixed. So in our giving, we like to, you know, have our name up somewhere, or recognition, because we like the encouragement. Other people say, wow, you gave that, and the pat on the back. But Jesus says, but why don't you try this? Give in such a way that only you and I know. Because then you know, and I know, that this is just about me. You want to please me, and you want to honor me, and it has nothing to do with it anyone else might think or know. And so he encourages us to do that. And he says, and you're going to find reward in that. So first thing is, worship is in giving our things. The second thing worship is giving our praise, giving our voice. And here also we can see the naturalness of this connection. When we love something, we want to speak about it. It's weird, like if we all were to go for a hike and we come upon some amazing vista, for us to just sort of pause and everyone to be silent, and then we move on. Naturally, people are going to say, wow, do you see that? Or look at how beautiful this is. There's something within us that calls out to give voice to what we honor, what we think is wonderful, what we love. And so praise is a natural welling up of that, and comes out of our mouths. And one thing that's really important to see in a Christian context when we're talking about worship and praise of God is that it's something that God does by His Spirit in us. So many things that God desires from us are not things that really we can gin up on our own, but things that God produces in us as we give space to do it. Think of love, for example. The way God calls us to love other people, can I just make that happen? No. But He says, as you yield your heart to me, I'm going to produce that love and pour it out into you, and it will be there. Praise is the same thing. Jesus says when He's talking with the woman at the well, He says, God is looking for worshipers who are going to worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, and Paul says this too, like we worship in the Spirit. And you can actually see an example of this in Jesus Himself. When He sends out the 12 and the 72 and they come back saying, it was awesome and you'll never believe what happened and we healed people and the gospel went out. And Jesus, the text tells us, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, says, I praise you, Father, because you have given these things to the poor and have hidden them from the rich. So Jesus Himself is giving praise out of an overflow of the Spirit within Him. And Paul says that's the same thing to be with us, that our praise comes not just from ourselves, but as we open ourselves to allow the Spirit to sort of praise and worship through us. And notice then that takes a yielding, because we have to be willing. We have to invite and say, God, I'm willing for you to well up within me in praise, and I'm going to give expression to it. And that also takes, I think, an ability to be not so worried about being proper and thinking about what other people around me are thinking, because that often hinders us, frankly. When in the Old Testament, David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, it's an interesting incident because you may recall he goes in front of the Ark and he's dressed in a way that's very unseemly. So he isn't in his royal robes. He kind of gets down to his t-shirt and boxers. And he's dancing in front of the Ark as they go into the city. And one of his wives is seeing this from the palace window. And when he gets home, she's like, honey, that was ridiculous. You were so embarrassing. You were out there acting like a servant or something. What is wrong with you? And how David responds is so interesting because he says, you know what? I'm going to become even more shameful. He said, but by these servant girls you mock, I'm going to be held in honor. Why? Because David was just genuine before God, and this was something that was pleasing to God about his heart. He said, I don't care at all what these people think. It's not about them. This is about God and about me, and if I have it within my heart the desire to give Him praise, I'm going to do it, and I don't care who's watching. So that attitude of vulnerability, I think, is so important. And one of the things that can be helpful here, and this is just, personally speaking, worship, praise has been difficult for me. It's not something that's been a real strong suit for me. I think because I'm kind of, this won't surprise you, of kind of an intellectual bent. And so the kind of emotional side of things, okay, a little weaker. But in this last year, it's been something that I felt moved by God to really try and work on. And something that I found helpful is actually private practice of praise. And I think what's good about that is that the distractions of other people are not in an issue, so I don't have to worry about what Kurt's thinking, but just me and God, and honestly in YouTube, because YouTube is a wonderful place to find worship music, and we all have different styles of music that are going to be most helpful to us to entering into worship, and so that allows you to say, well, what is it that really moves me? And so I found that really rewarding to just set aside that time and say, God, and this is the key thing, the willingness to say, I'm just going to be present, and I'm going to praise you in the way that you move me to do. And it's sometimes I even raise my hands. So, but the posture of your body actually is part of it in a way. There's something natural to that. Okay, now you think I'm weird. I would encourage you in that way to try to grow in your praise by making a space for you and God to get together and to open up your heart for Him to do that in you. And as we do that, God will grow you in that and will produce that in your life. So the second thing is worship is about expressing our praise. Finally, worship is about giving of ourself, giving ourself. How do we give ourselves? Well, we give ourselves by presence, don't we? When we give ourselves to someone else in a relationship, it means we're there. We spend time with them. And we also give ourselves by things like, you know, when you're single, you have this idea of like, here's my dream, here's my plan, here's my goal, here's what I'm going to do in my life. And then when you come into relationship with someone else, that starts to change, and you start to feel like, well, here's our dream, and here's our goal, and here's what we're going to do in life. You voluntarily kind of bind your will to the will of another person. And, you know, there's something beautiful in that, and there's something vulnerable in that, but it's something that we're very naturally pulled to. We actually long to do that, to say, "What? I want my life to be about your life." And that's the same kind of thing that we're talking about when we present ourselves to God, to say, "God, no, don't let it just be my life and my plan and my goal, but let me come into this place where it's our life and our plans and our goals." We invite God's leading and His presence into ourselves. And I recognize that this part, maybe more than the other two, is vulnerability in that. It's maybe we're reluctant to that a little bit. And, you know, the scriptures that we had this morning, I think, tell us two things that are so helpful in this whole matter. And the one comes in Jeremiah, which is this amazing passage where God says, "I'm going to make a new covenant." So there's the old covenant, that's Moses on Sinai, and we know what that looks like. He says, "I'm going to make a new one, and here's how it's going to work. I'm actually going to write my law on your heart." One of the problems that we can see about the old law is that it isn't written on the heart, and so it often functions as kind of an external burden of obligation. And you can see the people of Israel were always kind of punching against it that way. And naturally speaking, that's how it feels. Oh, this obligation. And God says, "I know that. I'm going to actually take my law and put it on your heart so that you love to do it. So I'm going to change the way you naturally feel." Because naturally, we don't really want to submit to God, and we don't really want to invite Him into all the crannies of our lives. But He says, "I'm going to give you a new heart." So God's promise here is that I know on your own this stuff is beyond you. But I, if you give me space, if you invite me to do it, I'm going to begin to make changes on the inside that are going to naturally flow into these kinds of things. And you're going to come ever more to the place like where Jesus was, where He said, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me. I love it. Can't get enough of it." So that's the change that He'll make in your heart. And the second thing we see in the gospel where Jesus is speaking and gives us the what you might call the paradox of self-giving. Because He says that we all have these two choices in front of us. We can take our life and we can cling to it. We can say, "Let me stay in control. Let me keep to my stuff. Let me kind of guard it. Let me make sure that everything goes all right with my plans and my goals and so on and so on." And Jesus says that's the path to losing it all. The things that you most want are going to slip through your fingers. He said, "Here's how you actually get what you want. Let go of it. You really want life? Give it up. Give all of it up. Put everything on the table before me and invite me into it." He said, "And that is where you are going to actually come into and find life." So the whole idea of worship is really, you might sum it up in self-giving. It's this desire to pour ourselves out for the sake of and in the direction of another person. Self-giving. And Jesus promises it here. As you give of yourself, you're going to actually find. As you give of yourself, you're actually going to receive. So the heart of worship is a heart that says to God, and here I'll quote a song, wonderful old hymn. It's called "I Surrender All." It goes like this. "All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all." God deserves it. He's worthy of our surrender. And He is worth it. Because as we enter into that surrender, Jesus says that's where we're actually going to find life. So I encourage all of us to reflect on this and to think, you know, God, where in my giving of stuff, in my giving of praise, in my giving of myself, where are you calling me to grow in that? Where are you calling me to step out in that? And as He's calling us, we recognize that that means He's calling us to a place of more life. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Your call to worship You, for Your call to give of ourselves to You, Lord, and we thank You that in that is our life, is our flourishing, is our health. And we pray, Father, that You would open up the doors and chambers of our hearts that we might yield ourselves to You. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen.